Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for psychobabble horse crap.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Thompson punches the rebound in the air, but it ends up in the hands of Rozier. He's going to beat LeBron James down the floor and slam it hard with the right hand.
Go for that one, Mr. James. Get some of that. Scary Terry, elevated. You want to chase something down? Chase that Cheeto down.
Cedric Maxwell's in studio.
I think he's even shrugging on that one.
Whoa. What the hell was that?
He falls into some sort of blackout during the games. Danny Ainge is the president of basketball operations.
Real quick, before you tell you, just what did that mean? Chase the Cheeto down.
I don't know.
Good.
I mean, I listen to you guys' show a lot, and I know you don't know what you're talking about.
We have no idea what we're talking about, ever.
I was listening to you guys doing your Jeopardy. I was just like, what happened to Black Jeopardy? That's what I wanted to say. SNL had
it would go over so well on the show. There would be no controversy.
It was absolutely hysterical.
Yes, Saturday Night Live has it because there's black people on the show.
See, wait a minute. There's something new here. If we breaking news here in Boston. Black man on show. I love this. Not even Black History Month? All right. I love you guys.
We're breaking all kinds of barriers.
Whoa. Martin Luther King would love this one, buddy.
That's right.
Breaking the mold.
We're very brave. GE has created game-changing solutions and advanced analytics for peak performance on the parquet.
Well, John's a big fan of New Edition. Does that count?
All right, stop. This is a paid-for read. GE, the exclusive data and analytics partner of the Boston Celtics, Danny Ainge. Hello, sir.
Good morning, gentlemen.
We have your buddy here in studio, Mr. Cedric Maxwell, joining us this morning, Danny.
Oh, that's awesome. Love Cedric. But Cedric, I thought he was saying cheetah. Chasing the cheetah down. I said Cheeto.
Cheeto, Danny. Cheeto.
Yeah, Cedric doesn't seem like he remembers saying that.
A lot of things you can't remember like that. I was telling Danny, I said, when you are being an analyst on that side, especially on radio, and I know you didn't do it, but it is more about sound bites than anything else when you're talking, just to get people to remember things.
Right, like Pasta Joe. He's got some sound bites now.
Yes, he does.
God bless you, Dan.
It's quite a few sound bites.
I think everyone's got Pasta Joe fever.
There's no sound bee.
That's right. He does have some. Well, first of all, I guess congratulations is in order of the success that you guys have had with the Cavaliers, two games up. What did you take? Because, I mean, it was really a tale of two games. Because the first game, it seemed like, you know, LeBron James didn't quite have the hustle that you expected. Yeah, passive. There were some plays where he just completely did not get back on defense. And we all knew it was coming in game two. He was going to be that guy that you saw in the Indiana series where he would try to go supernova. And even that didn't work. What can you say watching these two teams play about the level of energy that the two teams are playing with?
Well, I think that, you know, we had more energy in game two for sure, and in game one. I think that making shots brings energy. I think that LeBron tried to come out of the gates and dominate the game in game two, and we sort of held it all together for a while, and we started making shots. And in the third quarter, Terry Rozier, who didn't have a good first half, came out and really had a great third quarter. Jason Tatum had a great second quarter. Jaylen Brown had a great first quarter. And we just got a lot of good performances out of a lot of guys.
Danny, over your career, and you know, me and you have been around a long time, have you ever seen anybody kind of like Terry Rozier? I'm trying to think back that we played with or you played against that could get that hot. I know Vinny Johnson, I think about him, but even Vinny Johnson was a lot more, you know, like from point A to point B. It's just like Terry just has these spurts where he goes crazy.
Yeah, no, it's been so fun to watch. You know, he just has really seized the opportunity once Kyrie went down and has given us a big boost offensively and defensively. I mean, he's a great athlete. He's become a really good shooter, and he's just a great kid. I couldn't be happier for him.
Isn't it amazing how the tone of the I'm trying to think of a good word, like the DNA of this team almost changed the day that Marcus Smart came back. It's like once he showed up, The attitude was there. The physicality was taken to a different level. And I know that Tyronn Lue, after the game, said something about the Celtics team and the way that they play and their physicality as they were gooning up on the Cavaliers. What did you think of his assessment and what he actually called the physicality of the Celtics gooning up?
Oh, I don't know what he was trying to say, but I think that every coach and every player in the league, you know, appreciates players like Marcus Smart. He plays hard. He plays multiple positions. I mean, he was guarding Tristan Thompson through a portion of that game in game two. So it's a credit to Marcus. Marcus does bring an inspirational passion to the game that is contagious to the rest of the guys. And
you should show him a video of your Piston playoff games, the games against the Pistons, and say, here. Look at this. This is physical basketball. What are you talking about, Lou?
We don't need to show Marcus any videos.
He's talking about showing Tyronn Lue those videos.
You want to see gooning it up? There you go.
Tyronn's seen all that stuff. He's been around a long time too. He's played in some NBA Finals games also, so he knows. But anyway, we're glad Marcus is on our side, and he's been a big addition, even with the thumb injury.
Danny, I had a little confrontation the other day with Mark Jackson, the analyst. And he said, Max, I heard something you said, and I totally disagree. And I said, I wonder if I'm going to talk to Danny about this. I was on one of these shows, ESPN something, and I said that I thought Marcus Smart is the best defender maybe the Celtics ever had. At the guard position, and Mark Jackson came at me. He said, you know what? I heard what you said. It sounded good, but, you know, Dennis Johnson guarded me for the longest time. And I said, well, you know, Marcus is in that same vein, but I think Marcus is maybe just a little bit more physical. But he did mention Tony Allen. What do you think about the three guys?
You know, they're all three different. Marcus's strength is, I think he's better off the ball than anybody I've seen, in regardless of position.
Yeah.
As a rookie coming in, I mean, he has such great anticipation and instinct. DJ had great length and athleticism, and could block shots, and he'd win games with steals, just picking guys up, picking them clean. And Tony Allen was as good of individual defender as I've seen in the NBA over the last decade or two. So, yeah, I mean, all three of those guys are very, very special defensively. It's hard to say who's better. We like Marcus right now because
he's with us.
Right, but the game is changing too,
yeah.
Max.
I mean, yeah.
We defend pick and rolls different. We switch. You know, if DJ were playing in today's game at 6'4" and 215 pounds and his length, he could easily switch and guard multiple positions like Marcus does. But, I mean, that's a pretty big compliment to Marcus, though, just to be even mentioned in the same category as DJ and Tony Allen.
Danny, the NBA did not penalize J.R. Smith any further other than the flagrant foul for his push on Al Horford in Game 2. Do you agree with that ruling?
I do. Yeah. I mean, it's a flagrant foul. He's in the air. And, you know, the league, a lot of times they rule on the result of the play. So if Al Horford would have gotten hurt on that play, then the league might have come down on J.R. Smith. But because he didn't get hurt, they ruled it a flagrant one.
I'm glad that he didn't get hurt, penalized more, because you want him on the court. He's been a big bag of nothing since he's been out there. Was it 0-7, I think, in game 2, J.R. Smith?
Yes.
But there was a player, and it's an unnamed player, on the Cavaliers. I think The Athletic got this quote, but I guess somebody was saying that they called you a blanking thief because of the Kyrie Irving trade. So when you look back on that trade, like, what do you think of that classification? Obviously, someone on the Cavaliers is very upset and thinks you fleeced him.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, the time will tell, but I think that the pick that we gave them had a chance to be the number one pick in the draft. It turned out to be number 8. But, you know, who knows? They may get a really good player with the eighth pick in this year's draft. There's some very good players at the top of the draft. Isaiah, I mean, and they got Jordan Clarkson. And, you know, they turned Isaiah and Jay Crowder into other pieces, Clarkson and Hood and so forth. And so, you know, like time will tell on all these trades. But at the time, we were criticized for giving up too much, and we gave up a lot. Like, we liked Jay Crowder, and we liked Isaiah Thomas, and we liked that Brooklyn pick. So I thought it was a fair trade at the time, and both players, both key players in Isaiah and Kyrie aren't playing in this series, which is interesting. But we liked the trade for us then, and we like it now, and hopefully it works out good for both teams.
All right, we'll be right back with more from Danny Ainge and Cedric Maxwell. The CBS Sportsman is brought to you by Cambridge Savings Bank.
The games are only half of it. Hutcher and Rich.
98.5 The Sports Hub with Hutcher and Rich. Cedric Maxwell in studio. Danny Ainge on the telephone.
Danny, what kind of conversations have you had with Kyrie lately? I mean, have you spoken with him? Because obviously this is an interesting series, him playing his old team, you know, even for Brad to be able to pick his brain. Also, you know, there's that thing that I know some people are talking about, although we know Kyrie as a competitor probably doesn't feel this way, but he sees this team without him winning at a high level. Is there something that you feel as a GM you have to kind of say to him and talk to him at this time?
You know, I talked to Kyrie last night. I talked to him, you know, every other day anyway, and Gordon. It's hard on those guys. I mean, this is why they wanted to come to Boston, was what's going on right now. And they don't get to be a part of it right now. But they are excited for this young group of guys and Al Horford. And they're excited for all those guys. But, I mean, it is hard when you're watching your team have the kind of success that they've had and without them. And all I can think of is how good we're going to be with them. Ooh. Because those guys are good and our depth will be great. And it'll be a lot of fun.
I'll credit Felger and Mass for this, because they brought this up and I thought it was fairly interesting. The narrative around this team is, and probably rightly so, is that Brad Stevens is working magic, and Brad Stevens is, you know, the reason that this team is doing what it does. Is there a point as a player where you get sick of that and you're like, hey, I'm playing, I'm on the court, and the coach is getting all this kind of credit? And can that wear on a team as years go by?
So, I think that there is a danger in that. But I think that because the players know Brad and they know his humility and they know that he's not seeking that, I don't think there's any issues with that, all that. But, I mean, Brad does get a lot of attention, and there's not a coach in the NBA that I would trade Brad for. I mean, he's the best, and we love him. But, you know, the players are playing great. I mean, like Max mentioned, Terry Rozier and Marcus Smart, and Al Horford's playing as good as I've ever seen him play right now. And so, like, I think the players do deserve the credit. Brad's a terrific coach, but, you know, the NBA is a player's game.
All right, so I'm not going to ask you about Hayward, even though it has been good luck and it's been a tradition. I do it every single week.
You're breaking the streak
here. All right, I'll go ahead and do it. Is Hayward coming back?
No.
Okay, good. We got that out of the way. What about Shane Larkin, though? Like, he's the one name, the one guy that's out there that we don't know is definitely out for the season. What do you know as far as his possibility of coming back at some point?
You know, we're just taking it week by week right now. We're not counting on him coming back, but, I mean, I'll leave the window open, the door open a little bit for him to come back in another series if we get that far.
But he is prepping as if there might possibly be a chance that he could be coming back this season, possibly.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, that makes sense. One last thing I want to ask you about. Is there any way, and I'm going to ask this now because we got Cedric here in studio, is there any way you could ask the powers that be to get Cedric Maxwell and Sean Graney closer to the damn court so they can see the game?
I don't even know where they sit.
That's a problem.
See, that's the problem.
That might be a problem.
If you don't
not
see
visible.
Side,
do
that's
you,
a problem.
Do you realize that Granny most of the time calls the game watching a TV that's in front of him and not actually watching the game in front of him? Well, we got to change
Wait, well, why are you guys putting that, me in that?
I see perfectly. I'm going to bat for you, all right?
No, you're going to bat for Sean. I see the game perfectly.
Yeah.
Although I can't see the play out of the corner when they shoot the ball out of the I think it's the left corner. I don't know. All corner. I see it hit the rim.
But that is part of the game. And so that's, there's got to be a way.
Well, we sat at the very top of the arena and where the Bruins, would have.
Right.
And I couldn't tell if Shaq was black or white. I couldn't tell. He was that far away. So I could tell. It was just a shape.
Right.
So I'd rather sit there than any place else.
Okay.
So is there anything we could do, Danny, to help these guys be able to?
I think that you should get some binoculars and watch the game closer, but... that's where Tommy Heinsohn and Johnny Most used to be.
Well, Tommy Heinsohn needs binoculars to read a menu. Danny, while I have you on the phone in Cedric Maxwell in studio, I was watching that documentary about the Lakers-Celtics rivalry and Cedric Maxwell, making the choke sign and everything. Does James Worthy legitimately still dislike you guys?
I hope so.
I have no idea.
Because it seemed like he really doesn't like Cedric.
Yeah.
That's good. I like that. I mean, Danny, it was we played the Lakers last year, and obviously where our broadcasting spot is right beside the Laker bench. And I'm sitting there about to put my headphones on, and as I put them on, somebody like slaps me in the back of the head. So I look to my left. I don't see anybody. I look to my right, and Magic was walking down there laughing as he slapped me in the back of the head. So there is still some animosity there. Something like that.
I think he was just playing with you. I mean, those guys have such great respect, I think, for Cedric. In that 84 series, he was MVP of that series, and he took over that game. Game 7 was a big, it was probably a series that we didn't deserve to win, but we hung in there, fought, battled, and that was a great team, and Cedric was such a great player. They probably remember that and will remember that forever, that was a series that they should have had. And Cedric stole it from them. So
stole it from them freaks, Danny, as we would say. We stole it.
Well, is there a player in the league that you know for sure still hates you, Danny Ainge?
I have no idea. Players in the game today, players in the league today, don't remember who I am. So it doesn't matter.
Well, all obviously right. Someone on the Cavaliers hates you right now because they think you're a thief.
More of his as an executive.
That's right.
All right. So Danny Ainge, we always appreciate it. Congratulations on the success, and here's to more success. I look forward to talking to you soon.
All right, guys. Thanks a lot.
All right.
See you, Ced.
All right.
All right,
I tried, Cedric. I tried to get you an upgrade.
Talk to Sean and talk to this guy right here. These are the guys right now that are struggling. I just sit there and feed off their words. I don't even have to see the game.
I can tell by some of the clips.
Really? Absolutely. He's like, what'd you say, John?
Right.
When John gets going, that's what I always say. When John comes in, like, one of these games, I said, boy, this is going to be an easy day because John comes in with saddlebags of stuff coming in. Okay, I got it. And this is where his brother had two shoes, other brother, and his wife didn't have a leg. And that guy, he didn't have an arm over there. Like, John, what are you talking about?
You know what? We had Grandy in earlier this week, and I think we talked to him more in that time period than you've probably talked to him in 2 years.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, people ask me that all the time. Hey, do you and John ever go out? We have one trip. We have one go out a year. We go to San Antonio.
Right.
We go to a place called Mi Tierras. It's a 24-hour Mexican hole in the wall. Mm-hmm. And we have margaritas. And we laugh and we talk and we sing Kumbaya and black songs and all kinds of stuff. And then we walk home. And then we don't know each other again. So I love it.
It's beautiful.
Toucher and Ritt.
Zero level of concern at this stage. Come in Tuesday night
and we'll see what happens.
There's a left-hand dribble for LeBron falling away in the baseline. That's the shot he was working on all morning when he beat the rest of the Cavs here by about an hour. He knocks it down. LeBron has 16 already.
For me, game one has always been a fill-out game for me. If you ever followed my history, so.
She thinks she missed the train to Mars. She's out back counting
LeBron, smart, gobbles him up, two in a shot clock, crazy follow. Oh! Three is good! An audible gasp from the building that he has tortured before, and LeBron is doing it again now. LeBron has 19 points in 8 minutes and 33 seconds to start game two.
You just have to keep, you know, make it as hard as possible on LeBron. You know, we're just going to have to be that again on Tuesday night.
Our mindset is we don't back down from anybody, Doris. We come here to play.
Right side, passed in, scores it on the foul. And Marcus Morris screaming into the face of Tristan Thompson.
Hey, what you gonna do now?
And it didn't take long for this thing to get tested. Thompson punches the rebound in the air, but it ends up in the hands of Rozier. He's gonna beat James down the floor and slam it hard with the right hand.
Go for that one, Mr. James. Get some of that.
Baines, he's gonna try one of those left side threes, and he got it. Tatum picks it up, pulls it out towards Morris, swings to the open man. Rozier, three, got it. 23-11 is the Boston run, their largest lead of game two. Smart attacks the rebound out to Tatum, attacks the paint, reverses it up, no good. Smart flies in for an offensive rebound, puts it off the window and in. And a night that began as a masterpiece being painted by LeBron has been graffitied up by Marcus Smart. Jaylen Brown all alone for three. Here's Horford, spins on Kevin Love. Reverses it up and in. Scored on the foul. You were waiting for Al Horford all night. When the money's on the table, playoff Al busts through the door. Smart lob. Horford catches and got fouled. Pushed in the back by J.R. Smith. And now we got more trouble.
Keep letting the bully keep picking on you. He's going to keep picking on you until you finally stand up. And that's what I tried to do.
Jay Larinaga comes to get Marcus Smart. Phil Lynch, Celtics director of security, kind of yanking Marcus Smart out of any trouble here.
One of my guys was down, and I took offense to it.
Smart for Horford. He's taking that three right over Kevin Love, and he sticks it. Smart catches. Good look. Deep three. It's money. Back to Rozier. Attacks the glass. Lays it up and in. And the Celtics are going to pull this off.
You got to be kidding me.
At the end of the day, the greatest player in the world is on one end of the floor. But the Celtics are running him around in circles.
This is the first time you've been down 0-2 in the East in 10 years. How do you think you will digest that challenge over the next couple of days and prepare yourself for what's going to be called for from you?
You ask how will I digest it? I'm not going to lose sleep over it.
A stirring come-from-behind win in what may have been the Marcus Smart game of all Marcus Smart games. The final score, Boston 107, Cleveland 94. The Celtics lead the Eastern Conference Finals 2-0.
I don't know. Pasta. It's just a thing with me, you know.
If I say Frito burrito.
I have to go for it.
Fritos and beef.
And I like what I see, baby.
And cheese.
Come here. Come here.
985, the Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich as the region recovers from Pasta Joe's appearance yesterday.
That was a all day. I was going, geez.
Yeah.
Mary's like, what the hell are you talking about?
I'm yeah,
like,
my wife didn't find it funny at all. Just, I played her the audio and she did not think it was funny.
Okay, so after the complete and total, the LeBron James doing everything he could to try to will that team back into winning, and Kevin Love having a good game, and Tyronn Lue moving all the pieces around, and it seemed like they did everything they can do, you would think that Vegas would sit back and go, okay, well, maybe we give Boston somewhat of a shot in Game 3. You know what the odds are for tomorrow night's game? Cleveland is favored by 6.5.
Yeah, I like Cleveland in that game.
By 6.5?
Yeah, that makes sense.
It does.
Why?
You're on the road. It's a
home game. Cleveland absolutely, positively must win.
They had to win game two.
No, they didn't have to win game two.
What could they do more in game two?
They were down 3-1 to Golden State.
Look, and Fred is right.
Hang on. Let's stop with that. They had Kyrie Irving.
I understand. Right?
This team has nobody
but they
even
were against
close
Golden
to
State.
Yes.
They were playing against Golden State.
And they didn't have Draymond Green, too. Remember, Draymond Green got suspended.
For one game. Cleveland in trouble? Yes. But I completely understand where Vegas is coming from here.
Absolutely. I understand 7-point favorites?
Yes.
I think they're going to get blown
out. Yes.
Nope.
I think not by 7 points. No, way.
I think this is going to be a close game. I don't think, going back here, I don't think it's going to be a blowout.
Well, let me ask you this. If this is going to be a blowout,
have acquitted
6.5 points is a jumper at the end of the game. I mean, the difference between 3 points and 6.5 points
if you think they're going to blow them out, then who other than LeBron James is going to have a huge game? Because LeBron can't do much more than 42 points.
No, I mean...
So who's going to have a huge game outside of LeBron?
It's
going
to have to be one... Obviously, you're including Love here, who's pretty much good for a double-double in these games,
and
right?
Love had 20-something.
Right, 22 so and 15 in game
who
two.
Who out of those two, other than those two guys, is going to have a huge game? Because that's what's going to have to happen for there to be a blowout.
It's
going to
be Hood or George Hill.
So you're counting on Hood or George Hill to have a massive game.
It could be anybody. I mean, Korver could get hot in the second quarter. I mean, I just like...
Rich, I understand.
I like Cleveland at home in game three.
I do.
It's not crazy.
No. Look, Cleveland, I think, will win. It's going to be very, very close, though. I don't agree with the spread. I understand it, but I don't agree with it. I mean, there are two different things here. It's going to be a close game. The Celtics have taken Cleveland's best punch, and they won in game two. LeBron can't do much better than he did in game two. You're right. Love and LeBron have gotten no help whatsoever from the bench. Mm-hmm. You have to figure one of those guys will go do well, whether it be Korver getting hot for about a 10-minute span, or George, or...
Do you think Tristan Thompson's all of a sudden going to be able to find
I didn't see anybody.
Tristan Thompson at all.
It doesn't have to be an individual. Just the team has played like crap.
One other person. It's a desperate time.
Yeah, the Celtics are going to win the series. I understand Vegas's take on game three.
I'm not thinking it's going to be a blowout. I don't think it's going to be a blowout
either. But 6.5 isn't a blowout. 6.5, as you know...
But you said it was going to be a blowout.
I think it's going to be a blowout, but 6.5 is not a blowout. 6.5 is that you hit some free throws down the stretch. I mean, 6.5 in a NBA game is not entirely unbelievable.
See, I think this could go six games as well, and I think that they could lose. But it's just, I mean, the amount of disrespect that the Celtics have gotten after that game, too.
Vegas isn't in the business. Vegas' job is to get bets both ways, right?
Yeah, Vegas' business.
Vegas
is not
posts
respect.
A big number. A whole lot of money comes in on the Celtics, and they lower the spread.
Vegas has been wrong about the Celtics throughout the postseason.
Fair enough, but I mean, the idea that Vegas cares either way.
Every Celtic fan who bets, I mean, I'm not a bankroll boy, but it seems that every Celtic fan who bets will look at that number and go, okay, let's lay it in on the Celtics.
Well, you see, I'm actually a fan of that spread because I, for the first time, talked to one of the bankroll boys and put money on game two.
Okay.
And he was like, you want to keep it? Or you want me to get your Venmo?
Oh, you rolling it?
He said, or you want to let it ride? I'm going to let it ride.
All right, boy.
All right. So what is your bankroll?
How much was it?
$50.
It was $50. So now it's $100. No, so I'm like, you know,
right.
I am Captain.
Yeah. Let it ride. Let it ride, baby.
That's what I did. I'm gonna just let it ride.
Get yourself... three Chipotle lunches.
I could do that.
Absolutely.
Head over to Sweet Green and get myself another one of salads you hate for lunch.
I just don't understand salads as an entree. I
do like your theory. It needs to come with pizza.
It has to be leading into pizza.
Right.
That's how I get my vegetables. Jonathan, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm in disbelief in what the Celtics are doing, and I'm thinking already, how can we lock in long-term, Rozier, Smart, Brown, Tatum, and then Kyrie. And obviously, they don't have the money to do it. But if you buy into the theory that Tatum, with his skill set, his physique, he can rebound, shoot, play defense, hit the three, drive to the hoop, he's going to be, at some point, something somewhat close to what you're going to get from Gordon Hayward. So why not take the Gordon Hayward money, trade him, get what you can for him, and lock all these guys up long term.
Listen, this team is set up in such perfect position right now for the future because you have guys like, you know, as you mentioned, Hayward and Al Horford and, you know, people you're paying a lot of money to. And on the other end of the spectrum, you've got Brown and Tatum, who we both believe are going to be future stars, potential superstars. Mm. And everything lines up for when their contracts are done, that's when you have to make a decision as to whether or not pay these guys.
Gordon Hayward's contract is ending. You take that money
and you give it to Tatum.
On Tatum or Brown.
Yeah. And when Horford's is ending, more than likely that's when Brown is going to be coming up. So
you cannot trade Hayward right now.
Well, never get another free agent. Well, Fred, of course not. That's something you just can't do to a guy who got here, got injured.
And by the way, get another free agent.
And why do that? As I said, the only person that you can even talk about right now when it comes to trades is Anthony Davis. Everything else, your team is perfect for next year.
Well, you have to trade Rozier.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
I mean,
you have to trade Rozier. Well,
yes.
He's not going to play. First of all, he's not going to play. Second of all, you've got to trade him.
Well, he is going to play. I mean, he's your backup point guard.
Yeah, I know, but he's not going to play enough to warrant not getting the value that you'd get
next
from him.
Next year,
now.
You're telling me you can't keep Marcus Smart for whatever money he makes.
$10, $15, $17 million
is a restricted free agent.
$100 million.
Whatever the case may be, and have Shane Larkin back here on cheap money for those 10 minutes that you need him as a backup to Kyrie Irving. Smart can run the point, which he's been doing. I mean, Terry Rozier, as I keep saying, his trade value will never be higher than what it is now.
And if you want to keep Smart, you got to trade Rozier.
Exactly.
Well, next year, you could keep both.
You can.
And then Rozier won't play, and his trade value will go down. And you won't get anything for him. Yeah, you trade him now. Get a couple second-rounders, baby. Then you peg.
Get more than second-rounders for Rozier. Now? Absolutely.
What are you going to get?
I think you can get a first rounder for him.
Okay,
absolutely,
fine.
You can.
Okay, fair enough.
We were talking about the Clippers, who have two late lottery picks. I bet you they give up one for Rozier.
A lottery pick?
I think pick 14, yes.
All right, well, maybe they will, but that's dumb.
Well, that's a dumb organization.
Yeah, fair enough.
With Doc Rivers behind the
wheel.
Who
needs a point guard
all right,
bad?
Yeah, I'm not giving up a lottery pick for Terry Rozier.
Well, I wouldn't either, but it never ceases to amaze me how stupid some people
Cleveland
are. Danny Ainge is one who just takes advantage of all of them.
Cleveland might get Otto Porter Jr., who could end up being the best player in this draft class. He might fall to 8. That's where the mocks got
Michael
him.
Porter.
Yeah, because
Otto Porter plays for Washington.
Yeah. All right. Shut up. You could have just let it go.
I was confused. I apologize.
Well, Otto Porter is going to be in the draft, too, in my fantasy draft. Marlon Wayans, someone emailed me what Marlon Wayans talked to Maddie about today. Maddie gets everyone first.
How is that? He's further outside the city than we are. How is that?
They worked their way in.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, because he's got all the TV stations and stuff after us.
Oh, all right.
Yeah,
see,
okay.
So they worked their way in.
Okay. My mistake. Anyway, Maddie got him first, and...
I got nothing, so I want to know what Maddie can talk to him.
I thought you knew.
Steal it.
Okay. I have some stuff. Okay. I have some stuff for him.
Okay.
Rob, go ahead.
Hey, what's up, Fred? I'm pissed you didn't take my call yesterday. I want to talk to Max. I wanted to ask him about how he felt about you shattering Wallach's dreams last week so casually.
I've learned not to talk about Wallach's position as the play-by-play announcer of the Celtics because it's the first time off the air he got mad at me.
Oh, I could tell he was pissed off.
Yeah, he was pissed off. Yeah, he was like, I just don't get why you're saying these things, so I won't do it.
Well, you did come out like real.
Come on. I mean, can I please just have fun for once?
No, I enjoyed it. It was very uncomfortable, though.
Yes, of course.
Uncomfortable tension.
Right. I mean, I was busting his balls. I knew he was sensitive about it. It was fun. I'm not going to do it again. I mean, I'm not going to. I like John. I'm not going to sit here. But it was funny. He was getting all riled up, and I could tell he was getting all upset.
I just wanted to get Max involved on that.
Well, the one thing we learned about Max is that he loves John Wall.
And he does not like Randy too much.
You know what?
No, he doesn't. I mean, he really doesn't. I'm not making that up.
What did he say? He said once a year we go out to a dinner in San Antonio. We sing black songs together.
It's a kumbaya. And we don't talk to each other again.
Cedric was obsessed with being black. Like he mentioned that he was black 1,000 times during that interview.
That was hilarious. But I also I wanted to ask him to incorporate some like Fritos and burritos and like some
why not
beef and cheese references.
Oh, well, he's going to move on to another snack food eventually next year.
Well, they went and made that stupid Cheetos sandwich that doesn't even barely got Cheetos in it.
It's got Cheetos in the waffle that is.
I know,
used
but it's not like
bread.
A Cheetos sandwich.
Celtics picking up the ball and running with it. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, we should have asked him while he was here to yell
Frito burrito
at the end of one of the plays.
Forget. I just think it's funny that he's just like, you got to work in sound bites. And he would listen back to his calls, and he wouldn't remember what he said.
And cheese.
Is Nick here?
He's been on his way. He's here yet? You got here? Okay, good. He's now.
I wish it was Bird because Rich had to call Nick to tell him to wake him up and tell him to come in. And I wish so bad it was Bird.
That would have been good.
Oh, the irony.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir. Eric, go ahead.
Hey, guys. I get in the car, and immediately some idiot says to trade Gordon Hayward. I'm just so sick of it. It's like, do you know what an amazingly bad precedent that would set?
Yeah, it would be worse. Yeah, it'd be awful.
Absolutely.
The guy gets injured 5 minutes into the season. No free agent would ever come here again. It's so stupid.
That's
and I'm
true.
About to, like, drive off the road. I'm just like, it's the first thing I hear when I get in the car. I'm like, come on, guys.
Well, it must be nice getting in the car at 7:50.
What are you doing, slacker?
Monday's half over, man.
That's right. Friday, you get to go home, go to the dentist.
The other thing is, too, is that people don't realize how good Gordon Hayward is.
Yeah, people have quickly forgotten.
They have.
Dude, what a great
guy
he is.
An elite shooter. An excellent passer. I mean, he's somebody that he's going to be one of your new favorites on this team. And because you haven't seen him play this season, you're just forgetting about it. But that guy is unbelievable. So I love people just so quick to get rid of him.
Well, he's white, so everyone in Boston will love him, according to...
Max.
Well, no, Max was just celebrating his own black.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Right. Wasn't that the thing, is that Crowder thought, or that Crowder thought that it was because he was white and everyone...
Yes, that's correct. Yes.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yes.
He was not a fan of that.
He was not.
And Jay Crowder went on to do great things after he left here.
Where is he, in Utah?
Yep. Yeah, now he is.